I'm Abigail Galvan. Welcome to EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Ending shield laws. The push by several states to hold doctors criminally responsible for breaking life-protecting laws.
We need to return to our roots to protect the vulnerable.
The executive director of the Democrats for Life shares her fight to protect life at all stages within a party that has largely supported abortion.
When you use science-based evidence, the kids trust it.
We're giving them tools to educate them at a young age, and that's imprinting their hearts.
And teaching the value and dignity of life in the classroom, the course that aims to empower young people to understand when life begins. Abortion, homicide, arrest. Police in Bloomington, Illinois say a man drugged his pregnant girlfriend with abortion pills, causing her baby to die. Police are charging 31-year-old Emerson Evans with two counts of intentional homicide of an unborn child after they say he allegedly gave his 7-week pregnant girlfriend abortion-inducing drugs without her knowledge or consent. His girlfriend suffered a medical emergency and lost her baby. Abortion is legal in Illinois. However, intentional homicide of an unborn child carries a minimum sentence of 20 years in prison for each count. The retail giant Costco, which operates more than 600 stores in the United States alone, says it will not be selling the abortion pill mifepristone in its pharmacies. Management says it is due to lack of demand by its customers. CVS and Walgreens, two of the country's largest brick-and-mortar pharmacies, have continued to sell mifepristone in abortion-legal states. More than a dozen Republican attorneys general want to stop states from protecting doctors who prescribe the deadly abortion pill across state lines. Those attorneys general from Arkansas, Texas, Florida, and South Dakota, to name a few of those highlighted on your screen, want Congress to tackle the issue of shield laws. In a letter to congressional leaders, they write that these shield laws attempt to protect shield state residents from liability and prosecution when they violate pro-life states' abortion laws. For example, by mailing abortion drugs to a state where abortion is illegal. The Republican attorneys general argue that these laws pose constitutional concerns because they interfere with the state's ability to enforce criminal laws within their borders. On the other side of the aisle, the Democrats for Life, a nonprofit focused on giving the pro-life movement a voice within the Democratic Party, is also working to protect life. Kristen Day, the director of Democrats for Life, recently visited our studio. She shared with me not only the landscape of the movement within her party, but also how her organization is fighting for life on all fronts. So first off, there is a public perception that it's not possible to be a Democrat, a member of the Democratic Party, and pro-life. Is that the case?
No, that is not the case. We have elected officials all around the country who are pro-life Democrats. And in my opinion, I think we are the real Democrats. We're the most consistent with our historic mission to protect the vulnerable. And who's more vulnerable than a pregnant mom and their baby? So, so it's possible, and we need more Democrats within the party to speak up, because there are a lot of Democrats who agree with me who are so afraid to talk about being pro-life or afraid to talk about reasonable regulation and limitations on abortion because of the backlash from the party. A lot of times the local party will say you can't run as a pro-life Democrat, you have to change your position. So we're really trying to help people find the courage to stand up for what they believe.
I think this that you're pointing out, just like feeling like you're kind of being fought on both sides, one by your own pro-life movement and two by the Democratic Party. We're here, a pro-life show. What can pro-life leaders be doing to better support you in situations like that?
There's a bipartisan coalition in Congress right now, pro-life and pro-choice people coming together for paid leave. So we're very excited about the possibility there. But even more, we have we did a white paper to discuss the cost of birth, which is very high. Elizabeth Brewing wrote in America Magazine challenging the pro-life movement to address the high cost of birth, because financial reasons are a lot of the reasons women seek abortion.
We saw that, like, when they were trying to pass the Big Beautiful Bill Act, there seemed to be a lot of polarization around the abortion issue. Was there anything going on behind the scenes of Democrats for Life promoting life issues at that time?
Yeah, so we meetings and letters and coalition letters and the pro-life community really came together to for the child tax credit and the baby, I don't want to call it, they call it the Trump bonus, but, you know, every child who is born will get $1,000, and that money will build over 18 years. And so, I mean, there were things like that in the bill that were good. There were some good things in the bill that will help families. And so, yeah, we were pushing those. And, you know, and Planned Parenthood doesn't serve very many women when you look at the big scope of the United States. So I think defunding them and letting them figure things out on their own is probably a good thing.
Yes. Another trend that we're seeing across the United States is just the legalization of assisted suicide. What are you seeing there within your party?
It's heartbreaking that, you know, we've had some victories in Maryland. We've been able to defeat the bill mm-hmm. several times. But, you know, when I talk to Democrats, we are Democrats. We support the vulnerable and those who need assistance. And assisted suicide targets those who don't have the support, the elderly, the poor, who don't have great health insurance. So I think our party is on the Democratic Party is on the wrong side of that, mm-hmm. as they are with the abortion issue. And we need to return to our roots to protect the vulnerable and stop this trend, because we need to provide more caring and compassionate services for those who are experiencing some bad health complications.
Now, the Trump administration is very pro-death penalty. How are Democrats working to protect lives behind bars?
Oh, it's heartbreaking to see the number of... It seems like every day we're seeing another person killed by the death penalty. Again, we're a whole life organization. We don't believe we should be taking lives. We need to get the stories out there more about the people who were falsely accused. Mm. Once you take someone's life, you can't give it back. So, and so we are doing what we can to oppose the death penalty and bring more awareness to these cases that are just, that's not the solution. Violence with violence is never the solution.
Well, Kristen, thank you so much for joining us here today.
It's been a pleasure.
For more information on the work of Democrats for Life, visit democratsforlife.org. The now former Attorney General of Missouri launched a lawsuit against Planned Parenthood's national organization while he served as AG. He cited the organization targeted Missouri women by lying about the safety of the abortion pill mifepristone.
I am launching a new lawsuit against the National Planned Parenthood Organization, Planned Parenthood Federation of America, for their lies and their continuous deception against women across our country as it relates to dangerous chemicals that kill in Maine. First of its kind in the nation, Missouri leading the way on this fight.
Former Attorney General Bailey made the announcement at a Coalition Life event, a nonprofit with the goal of ending abortion through sidewalk advocacy. Attorney General Bailey has since been chosen by the Trump administration as the co-deputy director of the FBI. The fight for life in Missouri will be continued by the new Attorney General, Catherine Hanaway. Meanwhile, across that state, Coalition Life continues their sidewalk advocacy. I had the chance to speak to Brian Westbrook, Executive Director of Coalition Life.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us. We heard that Attorney General Bailey made the announcement about this lawsuit at your headquarters. Can you tell us about the case and what was your reaction?
Yeah, Andrew Bailey specifically came to one of our large events here in St. Louis, Missouri, to talk about the lawsuit that he has against Planned Parenthood Federation of America. And this specifically talks about how it violates the consumer protection laws in the state of Missouri. So in Missouri, at least, you know, here at the local level, the consumer protection should protect women and children and those who are seeking medical attention. And one of the things that Planned Parenthood Federation of America, the national and international organization, specifically says that mifepristone, the abortion pill, is as safe as or safer than Tylenol or Viagra or penicillin. And the attorney general made it very, very clear that no one goes to the emergency room because of Tylenol. Very, very few. And if they do, it's probably because of overdose. Yet we do know that on label, 4.6% of those who take the abortion pill are likely going to go to the emergency room. And there have been studies that have been done very recently that show that it's even higher. It's some 10% or more of women who have taken the abortion pill will likely end up in the emergency room. And then Planned Parenthood makes it even worse and tells them that you don't even have to tell them that you had an abortion. Instead, you can just lie about it and tell them that it's some other factor. So I think Attorney General in here in Missouri made the right step, and we support him in this effort.
And Brian, tell us, what are you hoping will come from the case?
Yeah, absolutely. We hope that it's very, very clear message to Planned Parenthood. Of course, the Andrew Bailey, the then Attorney General, was asking for $1.8 million worth of damages and then $1,000 for every single woman who was deceived and told that abortion pills were just the same as Tylenol. So we hope justice is served, and we hope that the judges would uphold Missouri law, and eventually we will not see these abortion pills spread around the country, and specifically here in the state of Missouri.
Brian, thank you so much for your work.
Thank you.
This November, Coalition Life will be leading 9 days of public prayer nationwide. If you would like to learn more, visit coalitionlifecircle.com. A judge has declined to block the Trump administration from stripping Medicaid funding from an abortion provider in Maine. The tax and spending bill Congress passed in July would deny some abortion providers Medicaid funding. Maine Family Planning, which operates 18 clinics in the state, filed a lawsuit against the U.S. government. Judge Lance E. Walker wrote that he could no longer consider abortion services as a constitutional right after Roe v. Wade was overturned. The decision is a win, for now, for the pro-life movement. Last month, a federal judge in Massachusetts reached a different conclusion in a case brought by Planned Parenthood. Judge Indira Talwani found that stripping millions of dollars in funding from the pro-abortion organizations potentially strips their so-called freedom of political expression. Should the abortion provider in Maine appeal Judge Walker's ruling, a U.S. Court of Appeals reportedly could settle the differences between Judges Walker and Talwani's case.
This showed me that it doesn't matter how developed you are, you're always going to be the same person with the same dignity.
Making the pro-life message simple to understand and easy to teach. That is the mission of the St. John Paul II Life Center's educational video series called A Glimpse Inside. It's part of a new national initiative to provide life-affirming education programs for young teens and adults. The free program includes physician-led videos on fetal development and guided 3D and 4D ultrasounds. It also includes some of live-action's animation called Baby Olivia. The Baby Olivia video provides a medically accurate, animated glimpse of human life from the moment of fertilization and explains the growth of a baby inside its mother through each gestational period. The story details Olivia's development. The educational course of A Glimpse Inside is offered to middle school, high school, and college students across the United States. The program aims to empower young people to understand when life begins. The goal? To present the pro-life message within 1 to 4 sessions. Here to offer us more insight about A Glimpse Inside is Linda Ruff, CEO of the Vitae Clinic and the St. J.P. II Life Center, the organizations that helped create this video series. I am also joined by Christina Bennett, a news correspondent for Live Action, the organization that created Baby Olivia. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Linda, we'll start with you. Why was it important for the J.P. II Life Center to create a program like A Glimpse Inside?
Well, we saw how powerful Baby Olivia was from an animated story of life, but we wanted to demonstrate more of the real life real doctors, real moms in a clinical setting. We felt like young people, it really drove home the message of Baby Olivia by showing real doctors, real moms, talking about real ultrasounds, and, you know, just took it to the next level.
That's great. And Christina, A Glimpse Inside, as Linda has mentioned, uses Baby Olivia footage. Now, Baby Olivia has been around for a while. Can you tell us how widespread the video is and the impact it's had thus far?
Absolutely. Baby Olivia has been around since 2021, and we're pleased to say that there are now 6 states in the United States that have included Baby Olivia or similar fetal video in their education. So what that means is that we're talking about over 4 million students across the United States that are getting medically accurate, scientifically accurate information in their health classes, showing them the beauty of fetal development. And that's just the power of Baby Olivia.
Now, Linda, is this strictly a Catholic video series, or have you had success sharing it in secular spaces?
Yes, we've had success sharing it. I will say that the Catholic Christian market is probably the one that is most likely to say, yes, let's put this in our schools. But we've had some luck in public schools. And I think Baby Olivia is, it's just science. And A Glimpse Inside takes Baby Olivia science into the clinical realm. So when you have real doctors and real moms and real babies, it just reemphasizes the science. And I think when you use science-based evidence, the kids trust it. You know, they're seeing real moms, real babies. It speaks to their heart in a way that I think is important.
Right. And a quick follow-up question for you, Linda. What has the reception been from the students?
Really powerful. And we've presented it to parents, to students, to all across the realm. Kids as young as 7 or 8 are observing, you know, what it really looks like. And one mom said to me, this was such a wonderful opportunity for me to talk to my daughter about how life begins, what it was like being pregnant with her, what it means to be a mom. And so those are the kinds of conversations that we're trying to encourage. You know, pushing it out there to parents, this is a wonderful way to start the conversation.
That seems incredible. Now, Christina, you are boots on the ground, having hard conversations about abortion. How do you think a video series like A Glimpse Inside can impact the pro-life movement?
It can be used in so many different ways. It's a tool to show people the beauty of human development. Pregnancy resource centers can use Baby Olivia, they can use A Glimpse Inside to show women who are considering abortion what the baby looks like that's growing inside of them. Groups that are on the streets, like 40 Days for Life, yes, they're praying, but if someone comes to talk to them, Sidewalk Advocates for Life, who are outside of abortion clinics, who are talking to women considering abortion, both of those groups of people, they can use Baby Olivia to show young women and young men who are considering an abortion, this is what you are about to destroy. This beautiful human life, this is what it looks like. And also people who are not considering abortion, but they are uncertain as to the child growing in their womb. What do they look like? What are the fetal markers? They can go online and they can watch Baby Olivia grow, and they can even choose a name and put the name in the video and really personalize it. And so from pregnancy resource centers to Sidewalk Advocates to young women who are just watching on their computer, there's many ways in which Baby Olivia can touch the hearts of mothers.
That's incredible. Now, I'm going to ask a question to both of you. In a secular world that teaches our youth that a baby is just a clump of cells and abortion is healthcare, what can this video series offer to the next generation of the pro-life movement to help them change the hearts and minds of our culture? And Linda, perhaps we can start with you and then Christina.
Well, I think a picture says 1,000 words. And the kids that observe A Glimpse Inside and Baby Olivia, they know right away that it's a baby. And we had one young man after watching A Glimpse Inside, and then we said, can you tell us the difference between this 8-week-old little baby whose heartbeat you just heard, and a 20-week baby in the womb, and then we had a young mom holding her infant child, and he said, that one's littler. And that's, I think, you don't even have to talk about abortion. They know right away it's a baby from the very beginning. They hear the heartbeat. One little boy said, even though it was the size of a grain of rice, we knew that it was a baby. And it was the same baby that was going to emerge from his mother's womb in 7 or 8 months. So kids get it. They get it right away, and they see the humanity of the unborn. I think what live action and what the JP2 Life Center are trying to do right now is provide this kind of evidence-based science so that kids can make their own decisions, because they're hearing all sorts of things about that. They can make decisions about their gender. They can make decisions about life. And when they see something so real, they realize that, hey, this is a God-given gift, and every child is unique. And I think it gives them sort of an ownership of their very own uniqueness. So it's been a pretty easy study. Kids get it right away.
And Christina?
Fetal development education, it's empowering. When I was in high school and even college, that was when the internet was just becoming popular and we were starting to use emails. And so when people would talk about abortion, unless you were looking in books, you didn't have a lot of information at your fingertips. But now for this generation, online education and education specifically on fetal development, it empowers them to combat the lies of Planned Parenthood, to combat the lies of the abortion industry that's telling them, oh, it's just cells, it's just tissue. If they're not wanted, then you can just discard of that human life. And so now we're giving them tools to educate them at a young age. And that's imprinting their hearts. That's changing their hearts and minds. And so when those lies do come, maybe the lies come in college, they'll be able to stand against them and say, no, I've already been educated. I already know the truth. And we're hoping that that message will stay with them for their entire life. And it'll be a message that they can pass to their children's children.
Amen. Well, ladies, thank you both just for the incredible work that you're doing at each of your organizations. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
If you would like to learn more about A Glimpse Inside and their free pro-life educational video series, go to glimpseinside.org. Coming up, a new Catholic film set to hit theaters soon. We give you a glimpse of Triumph of the Heart, a movie that depicts the sacrifice of St. Maximilian Kolbe, and a special interview with its director, Anthony D'Ambrosio. Stay with us. We are just days away from the release of a new Catholic film about St. Maximilian Kolbe. Triumph of the Heart takes us to a concentration camp in Auschwitz and gives us a look at the trials Kolbe lived through. The Polish priest accompanies 9 condemned men in the darkest hours of their lives and fights to build a brotherhood of hope amidst their suffering and despair. The director of Triumph of the Heart, Anthony D'Ambrosio, came to our Washington, D.C. studios to talk about the impact he hopes the film will have on the audience. What do you hope people that come and watch the Triumph of the Heart walk away with?
Yeah, everybody who asks me that, I just want to tell them hope. You know, every single person who watches this film, the main thing that they tell me that they feel is like, I want heaven so bad. Like, it's after seeing that, everything in my life seems like all of my crosses, they seem bearable now. And I think that watching the suffering, being face to face with the cross that they had to carry, and then also seeing like the victory of it, it's one of the most cathartic stories and the most healing stories, particularly for those who struggle with hope or struggle with doubt, who have unresolved questions with the Lord that haven't been fully kind of touched by his healing hand yet. And so it's amazing to sort of sit in the theaters and just watch that healing kind of coming through the screen and through the story and really moving people's hearts and bringing healing.
Triumph of the Heart hits theaters on Friday, September 12th. Check your local theater for showtimes. For more information, go to triumphoftheheart.com. That does it for this edition of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Be sure to like and follow us on our social media channels. You can find us at EWTN Pro-Life on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And sign up for our newsletter, The Pro-Life Pulse, EWTN.com/pro-life. Remember, life is a gift. Your life is a gift. God bless.